WJMS Radio. I am here with Azaya. Azaya, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So I know Azaya from Iowa City. He has performed in around the town a couple of times. I met him through a production company that I'm in, had a battle of bands, and he performed, so I kind of just was dying to do this interview with him. Just to kind of dive into your background, you're from Dubuque or Quad Cities, or where are you from in Iowa?
I'm living in Davenport right now.
Mm-hmm. I've been
Davenport, Iowa, and I've been here for roughly, I would say about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just about, yeah.
Did you grow up in Iowa, or did you grow up somewhere else?
So I was born in Tacoma, Washington, and then I moved here as a child, and then I grew up in Clinton, Iowa, which is only like 30, 40 minutes from Davenport, mm-hmm. and then around 7th grade, I ended up moving up here, and this is kind of my main spot since.
For sure. And then how has the Quad Cities area shaped your music?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that just us being in the Midwest in general, a lot of the time I think there's an identity thing where it's, you know, we don't necessarily get coined a sound. So a lot of it's really just me being a fan of music across the board, whether it be from the West Coast or the East Coast, where, you know, it's just a melting pot. So a lot of it ends up being just connecting with people here who like a lot of the same things I like. You know, like people like Childish Gambino or Kendrick or Chance or J. Cole or Kanye or Andre 3000, like all these different guys that, you know, have, I think, deviated from what people might think are hip hop. All that stuff kind of inspired me in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever plan on leaving Iowa, or are you going to try and stay in the Midwest area?
So actually, at the beginning of the year, I was in Los Angeles for a little bit. I went with one of my friends, and we went out there with the intention of living, but things just didn't really pan out. It can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
A great experience nonetheless. Like, I'm glad I went. Definitely opened my eyes. But, yeah, ultimately, I'd like to live somewhere else, you know, bigger, just a bigger market, you know.
Yeah.
Get access to more opportunities and whatnot. But I think as for the time being, this isn't a bad spot to really hone the craft and build. So
yeah, definitely get your fan base where you start off, you know, build
sure,
up.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like if I can't do it here, then if I really believe in it, I think, you know, it shouldn't matter to some degree.
Exactly. When did you start doing music? Has it been a part of your life for a long time, or is it something that you kind of picked up over the recent years?
The music thing, I kind of caught that bug later. So I didn't grow up like rapping all, you know, like since like 13 or anything. I didn't start actually rapping until senior year of high school. And then it kind of manifested from there. A lot of it, I think, just came down to writing. So I've always loved to write. English has always been one of my stronger subjects in school. And it was just kind of like taking that and putting it in that musical format. So I was like, oh. You know, we'd do stuff like in a choir class, we would do like little rap battles. That just kind of something that ended up happening. And off that, it sparked a dialogue about, oh man, like you should drop a mixtape, you know, jokingly. And then I kind of took it as like a challenge. I'm like, oh, bet. I was like, oh no, don't, like, you know what? You might be onto something. So shortly after high school, when we graduated, I started putting out songs, just trying, you know, just got to the drawing board and see what would stick. And it got to the point where people were genuinely like gravitating to it and were like, hey, this is dope. Like, I would listen to this, or when's the next song? And then now it's been 4 years and we're still doing it. So.
Yeah. So as you said that writing was kind of your first introduction to arts, do you still write now? Or like when you were writing back then, what were you writing about?
It predates writing. I've been illustrating since I was a baby, like a little child. That was like my first love, like art love. I would still say it's like my main one. I was never without like Crayolas or like markers and paper, you know, just kind of fueling that. And then I've always had really like intrigued by film, and I love storytelling. So as I got older, that was something that like I was really drawn to. Maybe not even realizing it, I was maybe like wanting to be like a screenwriter, or like do something like that. but I've always loved like text and like just the way you can paint images with words. And I found myself dabbling with theater in the later years of high school, thanks, you know, to people like my drama teacher, Mrs. LaCourte, shout out. she really pushed me into that space. I was like, nah, you got like, you should be doing this. And then the writing, when I found myself writing stuff, it wasn't even necessarily about anything specifically. I think it was just more about if you gave me a topic or like if I was doing a research paper, I could write some crazy research papers.
You want to write mine for me?
yeah, I got you. We get, look, the thesis, we're going to get it on point.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get the body right and the conclusion, you know, the three-parter. Yeah, and it was just, if you're going to talk about something, talk about it thoroughly, you know, like, be thorough about it. Really, you know, make sure you hit all the points so there's nothing left to, you know, up in the air, you know, make sure you really covered everything. And I think that's what I love about transitioning that to music, where it's like, unlike, you know, I love, you know, the whole acting thing is cool, but obviously you're kind of transforming that text and you're, you know, conveying whatever the, you know, the material is, whereas music is like, these are my words. I can say whatever I want. And I think that's important. It's like, well, if you're going to tune into a record, like, let me say something, let me take you into my world a little bit.
Right. What's your ideal environment to write music in? And also, like, back hanging off that as well, since you are a writer, obviously you write music ahead of time, but you also do freestyling as well.
Oh, gosh. I'll be fully transparent. I have no reason to lie. Like, I'm not a great freestyler. It's a muscle. It really is a muscle in itself. I would love to get better. Like, because, I mean, it really is like improv with music. You know, when you're obviously trying to throw out these words, I think I probably overthink it too much. That's probably what it is. Where I'm like, you know, because a lot of time you want to like, oh, that was a crazy 16. But if I really started freestyling, it's not going to be it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to be me saying rhymes. Yeah. And I feel like that to me isn't like, oh, like I want it to be dope rhymes and like, have some overarching message, and maybe that's not really the art, but yeah, I mean, I know some dope freestylers, but I'm not that guy. I'm more of a, give me some paper and a pencil, and let me flesh this out, and I'll get back to you.
Where do you find yourself writing your music most of the time?
Mostly in my room, which is, that's really where a lot of it, I think there's something, it's like my room is my sanctuary a little bit, you know, like, I think there's something about shutting off from the outside world and being not letting certain ideas creep in and just really be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I want to address. Let me just write. What I found though with this new project I'm working on is I'm actually working totally different. And I think it's because the first five projects I really just wrote strictly by myself. So now this next project, I find myself wanting to be around people a lot and write it that way. Because I think there's something about, I don't know, bouncing off of other individuals and that collaboration. And also just a lot of my music I find now, because I've talked about so many things that I want to talk about, it's just good conversation and what that leads to. Or you start having genuine conversations where a lot of time when I'm in the studio, I don't even like to make music, if that makes sense. Like, I just like to talk with people and be like, how you been? Like, what's been on your mind? And then let that, like, oh, that's a song. Like, you know, you start... having organic conversation, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, we have a record, you
right.
know? So yeah, that's been happening a lot, which is really exciting.
I'm gonna point out what you said a couple moments ago about your all five of your albums and EPs. How do you think that you have changed since, I mean, either the last one you put out to the most recent, you know what I mean, like the one before the most recent one, or like
sure,
from
sure.
like your first ever to where you are now?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think really the biggest lesson I think I've found, or like when I look back and I look kind of at my catalog, is trusting whatever I want to do. Because I think most musicians will admit that when you're starting out, you just want people to like it. And I think a lot of the time that means you want to adhere to whatever you know works or like is catching at the time, whatever that may be, whatever genre you're in. And then you get to a point where you're like, you know what, if I'm going to do this for the long haul, I might as well just make stuff I'm a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just kind of like this last year, I really haven't put anything out, but it's more so because I just want to fall in love with the process of making music and listening to as much stuff as I can and just being a fan first and foremost. So with this new stuff from then to now, it's more about just trusting the instinct and not, you know, making music selfishly. Cause then it's like, well, if I'm happy with it, you know, at least, you know, I trust my gut enough that if I'm enjoying it, someone else will. Mm-hmm. It usually works out better that way. I think so.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you work with mainly people just from the Davenport area or like Iowa area, or have you kind of branched out and collaborated people from like Chicago or like other states or wherever?
So in terms of production, a lot of it isn't from the local area. And maybe that's because in part, again, I was kind of cooped up in my room so much with the first stuff. I wasn't really actively partaking. But also I have a very particular taste palette and like looking for certain sounds. So a lot of it's just me digging through the internet and finding production I think really speaks to me and what I want to say. And then kind of establishing a bond with those producers and then getting the beats to make the music. Like actually, someone I just became friends with in the last month, now his name's Jacob and he's from California. He actually is out in Fresno. And I stumbled upon his content. We got an opportunity to talk and we shared each other our stuff and we like loved each other's stuff and we found we were like two peas in a pod. So now we're working on new music for my next project just based off that relationship being established and saying, hey, you have a vision that I believe in and vice versa. And I think together, you know, we would complement each other's sound. So let's see where this goes. And now we have a couple records in the works right now. So I'm not opposed. I don't want geography to limit that because that's the beauty of the internet is you can work with anyone. There's creatives all over the place and we're all sharing stuff. So if it works and, you know, the vibe is right, then yeah, let's do it.
Do you think that having social media really kickstarted your journey as an artist? Like, is that how you kind of found your producers in Davenport and all that? Or how did that all come together?
Actually, yeah, it's really a combination of the internet and also being present. Like, I mean, this interview is a direct response to the internet and being present. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very thankful. Yeah. Like that we're even on the call to do the interview because you stumbled, you know, you saw me. Like, I mean, and you probably wouldn't have known about me otherwise, you know, just because things, how things travel and who, you know, what gets to who. So I've always, especially amongst a lot of my friends, I've been like very adamant and I'm a firm believer in there's nothing better than making people see you. Networking is half of this industry, period. It's just knowing the right people and shaking someone's hand can go a very long way. So when that Battle of the Bands opportunity rose and it was brought to my attention, they're like, hey, you should submit. There was a little hesitation because I was like, oh, I don't know if this is even my scene. But then I was like, well, hey, like the worst case scenario, they say they don't want to have me. And then, you know, yeah, it's like, and you just graciously accept it. Like, okay, like, you know, if another opportunity arises, I hope we can collaborate and, you know, maybe have me. But it worked out and they're like, yeah, come on down. And I did my little 20 and I met some really wonderful people from that. So that stuff is like really good positive reinforcement where you're like, oh, hey, like even people like, you know, a lot of Battle of the Bands, there was bands, like legit mm-hmm. bands. And then I'm over here rapping, but there was a mutual respect and appreciation for both. It was like, hey, like, you're doing what you're doing at a high level and we shout out, man, like, you know, keep doing your thing. Yeah, I definitely that when we go into this next year is just be present, go out more, be willing to showcase my content because you never know what can happen.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy that you came to the Battle of Bands. You were by far my favorite performer. Oh, thank you.
That means a lot. There are some dope people. And yeah. I was like, you know, obviously it was like a contest, but I forgot it was a contest. Like I mean, halfway in, I'm like, oh wait, like this is a voting poll. And I'm like, I was already, it sounds corny, but like I already won just like going and meeting awesome people. It was like, hey, you know what? There's a cash prize, whatever. Like, you know, especially cause like a lot of those things you get people to come out that are already built in fans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not really that tapped into Iowa City, especially then. Where it's like, it's more important just me be out here, period. And we'll, you know, it's all an opinion-based sport. But I had a good time, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. You weren't really a big part of the Iowa City scene at the time. How did you even find out about the Battle of Bands? And then ever since then, have you felt like you've been in Iowa City more making more connections here.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is a time to plug some things. So basically what happened was a good friend of mine named Nakia, shout out Nakia, she brought it to my attention. So she like was tapped in with Scope, and she had saw that they actually, because it's funny how life works, where they actually extended the deadline because originally it had already ended. And she brought it to me, and I was like, yo, it's already done. And then she's like, no, like, double check it. And it said, like, oh, they bumped it another week or something. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, what I gotta lose? So I grabbed one of my links, and then I sent it. And I think maybe, actually, it was a little bit went by. Like, I think almost, like, 2 weeks went by before I heard anything. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, ah, you know, whatever. Like, we took a shot. And then next thing you know, they're like, hey, congratulations. Like, you know, we selected you. Like, can't wait to have you. And I was like, oh, well, we're in. So next thing you know, it's rehearsals and boom. It kind of all went by in a blur. And that was, like, one of my first, like, legit gigs out there. And then a week later, I did another gig at Gabe's. So I was right back a week later. So it was kind of a nice, like, introduction. And be like, oh, by the way, if you enjoyed what you saw here, come check out the show next week. And now it's to the point where Iowa City, I would love to make my, like, main little hub. I mean, it's only an hour away from where Davenport is. And there's just, I mean, it's a great demo to tap into. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of us are all in that 19, 20, you know, early 20, you know, age group. So it's just a lot of young people my age that, you know, I can connect with, and tapping into a big university's market like that is huge, which I get why a lot of artists say it's really important to do those university shows, because again, it's kind of like a ripple. You know, you do a show for 15, but if 15 of those kids love you and they get your, then now they're consuming your content, they go back to their friends and they're sharing it with them, and then boom, you're all across campus. I mean, it can happen that way. So just, I guess, to set up for what's coming, January 11th, I'll be back at Gabe's doing a show with some of my buddies. It's their Lunar Gang show. And then January 31st, I'll also be at Gabe's again doing the Snow Days event with some of my buddies, including the names of, like, Eastsider, Zach Reb, and Sons of Mars, to name some of them. And that we're going to be doing that event and facilitating that one. So I'm really excited about that. And just really trying to maintain a constant presence is going to be huge, you know, like going into that new year to set the expectation for people that, hey, we're here. We're all, you know, really proud of the content we're making, and we want to share it with you. And if you'll have us, we'd love to keep doing it. So, well, yeah, I'm excited.
For sure. Really exciting. It's important, I feel like, to definitely build a relationship with Gabe's here, because it's a huge hub for people to come and listen to music.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah, and I'm, like, really bummed. Do you know, like, what – I'm sorry, I don't mean to, like, flip the question, but Blue Moose, like, it's gone now, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's gone. So it's, like, man, I really hope that gets resurrected or something takes its place, because right now it sounds like Gabe's is really the main venue out there.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. I agree. I also hope that we build another type of performance place, like a bar or whatever, that is allowing artists to come perform, because, like, Blue Moose was huge.
Yeah, they brought like big names, like, especially now if you look at the points that they're at in their career, like, they brought some great talent to the area. Yeah. So I think it's important that, like, for anything community wise, which is something I want to be more of an active participant in the new year, especially, is just facilitating spaces for people to have fun, safe, and experiences, especially music brings people together. It's just fact, you know. I mean, festivals are selling stupid numbers. It's really a communal thing. So having those kind of pillars in the community is important. So hopefully I'm sure there's people already putting their heads together to figure something out. But yeah, the more the better. You know, people will come.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Was Battle of the Bands one of your first live performances ever? How long have you been doing live performances?
Oh, so I've been doing live performances since early 2017. So, yeah, so about 2 years. Like, doing it, dang, is that right? Yeah. No, that's three. Yeah, three years. Yeah, because I was like, nah, that doesn't sound right when I said it. Yeah, about 3 years. And, yeah, so it feels really good. Like, obviously, the jitters are gone at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm just... You kind of just black out, and do, you know, you do it. Like, that's me. Like, I'm like, I know the material. Like, it is what it is. You kind of have to just strip the ego from it, because obviously you can feel some kind of way about reception and all that other stuff, but then it just gets in the way of the music, and it's like, you know what? These are the songs. If I'm gonna do them to the fullest, and we'll let the other stuff fall where it may. But yeah, so the Battle of the Bands, yeah, I've been doing this for a little bit.
I had another question going back to your transition from who you were 3 years ago from your first music releases to where you are now. Yeah. What is the common theme that is often brought up in your music?
Common theme. Self. Just self. Like, I have found, especially with this more recent project, is that I have to write music based on what I'm going through. You know, like, I can't make fictitious stories. It doesn't feel right. And it's like doubling as therapy at the same time or something, but it feels way better to like capture a moment or a feeling and then just put it into music form. So I like to make all the music be a direct reflection of whatever is going on. Mm-hmm. I think a lot, I can't speak for everyone else's creative process, but I say it a lot where if you're an artist and you're going through stuff, please document it. Like, I think that's great. I think some of the biggest names in the music right now are proving that it's a winning formula, is if you're going through things, like, you should write about it. It just makes it relatable.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you firsthand, and sometimes it can be very scary, because you feel like a little bit like an exposed nerve, because, you know, if you're being vulnerable, you're telling people things. However you want to get that across, that's, you know, that's your decision as an artist. But really, it's comforting for the listener, I find, where I think about my favorite artist and I go, wow, I feel that too. You know, and like, sometimes it's just who's willing to actually say it and admit it on record.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And is that how you want all your listeners to feel? Or is there a specific vibe that you're trying to give out and have, you know, those who are listening react and feel?
Yeah, I think that's huge. Like, it's truth. It's just about truth. And I think if I have to be an advocate for that. I don't expect everybody to like live the same way I do or have all of the same, I guess, ethics. But what I do, I just want to put it on display. And I think that's common ground. Like, I've had some, again, like, don't judge a book by its cover. I think there's people who might see me and then see me go on stage and then already have a preconceived notion or like, oh, what's he going to do? Like, the wild card thing. And I love that. I love that. Because I'll show up to a show in a baseball tee and some jeans. Like, I don't have, like, the rapper thing, but it's like, that's just not me. So then the music kicks on and then they're like, oh, you know?
Now I get it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this dude, like, oh, he cold with it kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, because it's just like, it's the music first, you know? So there's people that, you know, after the shows, they'll come up to me and be like, hey, man, like, I really respect what you're doing. And I can tell, like, you're honest and you're making really, it's kind of like, you love it or hate it, you can't deny it. Or I think if it's a persona thing, that gets old, that gets exhausting, you know, trying to wear a mask, like, nah, I'm just gonna make the music I wanna make and be honest and like hopefully makes you feel good and you wanna live more in your truth. So yeah.
Exactly. And thinking back to your performance, just, you know, what you were just previously saying about, you know, when you get on stage and how you're fully yourself and whatnot, who has had the most influence over your music tastes since you were younger or anybody recent?
Are you talking like artists themselves or like people around me?
Either or, if you wanna do both or just one.
Yeah, okay, I'll do both. So in terms of friends, I would say like one of my best friends ever is my friend David. And David, like, he is, there are certain musical opinions I hold to very high regard. Even so, he has some of the most controversial opinions. Whenever he says that, I know he means it fully and I respect it, even if we have like agree to disagree. And, like, you know, he's, like, a huge Beyonce fan, like, is one of his favorite artists ever. And we were watching videos the other day, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, I like Beyonce. I wouldn't say I'm, like, a huge Beyonce fan. Not nearly as a – he's a stan, you know? Like, he, Like he knows this, he knows the catalog through and through. And I love it. I love when you can connect with an artist to the point where you just know their catalog. And I was like, dude, I get it though. Like I understand why she's so big and why she's so adored. And he's like, even early on told me like, hey, you've got something with your music. Keep going. Don't stop. And I was like, oh, well, if he's co-signing, then I need to probably listen. And he's never done me wrong. Like, if he says I've got a certain record, it lands. It really does. And so he's kind of like my musical advisor of sorts, like more so than any of my friends, that I always go to him about things and really let him listen and get his take. And then in terms of people that are actively making music, easily Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, mm-hmm. for those who may not realize it's the same person. And it goes beyond just like the music, even though I love Childish Gambino. I just love his ability to juggle so many mediums. Like, I find that so fascinating. And that's something I want to get to a place where, you know, with my confidence and just a skill set to be able to do a show and do movies and make an incredible body of work with music. And he's been able to, especially these last few years, he's been able to do it so seamlessly, it feels. I'm sure it's disgusting work, but, you know, like, it's so easy to be like, oh, yeah, he does all these things. And I'm like, nah, there's, like, that's why he gets so much adoration from industry people, because it is hard. Hell, it's hard to do one thing well, let alone multiple things well.
Right.
And the man's just a jack of all trades. So he's honestly, like, because the internet specifically, because I have to shout out that album, was one of the first albums of recent memory within the 2010s that I fell in love with. Like, that is, I have it on vinyl and I don't even have a vinyl player. It's just that's how much I love that album. Yeah, and there's a lot of other ones, but I'll say Donald for now.
That was a great album. I remember when that came out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Huge. And I feel bad because I missed it. I caught it a year late because I wasn't really aware of it. And my friend, the way I was discovered Childish Gambino was a friend of mine from high school was like, man, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Childish Gambino. And I got offended because I didn't know who it was. And I was like, what? Like, it sounded like Weird Al Yankovic. No diss to him. Like, yeah. it sounded like some like parody person that does like weird stuff on YouTube. I didn't realize it was a full blown musician. And then I was like, you know what? Cause it kept saying it. I went on YouTube, I'm like, I gotta check this out. I gotta go do my
Googles. Let's see what I'm working with here.
I gotta do my Googles. And then I saw it was Donald, because I had already seen him from, like, Community and, like, in his stand-up. And I was like, oh, he's a musician, too? And yeah. I was like, and it's just his other alias. And then I started hearing, and at that time, 3005, which was, it was boom. Oh, like, it was popping. And then I was like, oh, I was like, I like this. Like, I was like, you know what? It's like that. I'll take that. Like, that's a nice compliment if you say. And that was way before I was ever rapping. That was just me as a person. They're like, dude, you remind me of Donald. And then I found like I just found a lot of identity with that. Like, I think he laid a wonderful blueprint. Him, people like him, Tyler, Pharrell, you know, just black kids can be different and, you know, you can be yourself, like individuality, and, you know, don't feel weird because you're not the typical thing, you know, you can be whatever you want.
Right. And it is true, like what you said, he's so multifaceted. Like, I don't know, did you ever watch Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, love it. Love
he
it.
Was amazing in that.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
show had me rolling.
Yeah, and he, like, that's his brainchild. Like, you know, I think he made it with his brother, but again, like, just another idea that he had, and it worked, and it worked in a big way. I mean, right. The shows, I mean, like, it sucks that, because, again, he's so busy, they have to do it every other year with the rollout, because we're waiting on that season 3, but it's awesome. And again, it's like, I get his bigger master plan, so I'm like, I'll wait. Like, I'm patiently waiting for it, because I know when it comes, I'm sure it's going to be something he's really proud of. But yeah, like, that's what I would love to get to. And I think that's just the way the industry is now. Like, you don't see a lot of creatives who just do one thing. You find a lot of, you know, in general, a lot of artists. I mean, look at Rihanna. Look at all the stuff she's doing with Fenty, that whole brand. I mean, she's built a separate empire alongside her music. You know, everyone's just dying for a new album from her. But I'm like, yo, she understands that she can do it at her time. Like, she's not in a rush.
Yeah.
Or like a Frank Ocean is another one who, you know, man's disappears. He's like a unicorn.
Literally.
You know, he's a musical unicorn, but when you see it, you get excited because you know you don't get Frank every day.
They're smart for that because the more we anticipate, like, wanting it, like, the more we're, like, obsessing and, like...
Oh, my gosh. You know how many times, well, at the time, we thought it was going to be called Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah.
But it was Blonde. It ended up being Blonde. That got, there were so many speculated dates or, like, oh, it's coming out this day, and then nothing happens, and everyone's just like, yeah, whatever, I believe it when I see it. And then it dropped, and everyone...
Yeah.
And you know, all the people that are super pessimistic downloaded it, like, without hesitation. And I don't think everybody can do that. I think you have to be really, not only do you have to have a really strong fan base, but you also have to really be putting out great stuff. That's the core of it. It's make great stuff. And I, like an Adele, she can disappear for years at a time. And when she comes back, we're all waiting because, quality stands the test of time. And I think, That's big for me too, is I want to make timeless music. I think in this era, especially with streaming, it's so easy to feel like, you know, fast food, you know, where it's, we consume at such a fast rate. I mean, with this binge culture we're in, but it's like, no. We got to slow things down a little bit.
I agree.
I think that if you make a wonderful album, there's no reason we can't be talking about it for 5 years plus.
I agree.
You know, like, I don't get this whole, oh, you dropped the album last year, where's the new album? It's like, go listen to that album. Now, obviously, everybody's not putting in the same amount of time for projects.
It doesn't feel like a craftsmanship anymore.
You're
mass producing just to keep people happy, but it's like, that's not the whole point of it. It's the, there's such a deeper and bigger meaning to all that.
Yeah, I mean, it really raises the question, like, it's happening now. I'm seeing it where 2019, we're about to go into 2020. It is the start of a new decade. How many of these albums are we still talking about after the last 10 years of music we've had? Only a handful.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these projects will we be talking about in the 2020s? Even a smaller handful. But again, like, if you're making great bodies of work, I think that should be the goal. I mean, hopefully. I mean, obviously, people want to get paid, but I want to make stuff that you're like, you want to live with for a long time.
Speaking of the decade and whatnot, everyone's been, you know, posting, like, what was your album of the decade, blah, blah, blah. Like, what, in your opinion, is the album of the decade, either for yourself or just in general for the population?
Ooh.
I know, it's so hard. Hard.
That's a crazy I'm not even going to try to answer that for the masses, because I can't speak for them. I will tell you, like, in terms of people that I'm so happy I found in this decade, like, I know there might be a certain cynicism about, like, music, but we had some great people pop in the 2010s. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like, I'm so happy. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the band Tame Impala.
Of course.
I guess it's Kevin Parker. It's just him, but, like, you know, he's like a traveling band. Oh my gosh, I love that man so much. And
amazing.
He is amazing. And I'm so excited. He's got a project dropping in February.
Yep.
And I'm just like, yes, get my year. Yeah, get my year off right and get this. I'm there. I was going to go to Lala, and things didn't work out because I just went on vacation. So I didn't go. But Childish, you know, Donald was there headlining, and so was Tame Impala. And then there was, like, Ariana Grande and a couple others. But I was like, well, dang, between Donald and Tame Impala alone, that'd be worth it for me.
Absolutely.
But now, like, you know, I pass it up. But now that I know he's going on tour next year, I'm like, oh, we'll make up for it. I'm just going to go see him on his tour then, because I can't miss that vibe. But, yeah, he's great. And then in terms of, like, albums, oh, man. Okay, I'm going to say there's a lot, and I could talk that all day, but I think in terms of projects that I really think are beautiful, and it's probably not, like, an unpopular opinion, I just think it's a truly wonderful piece of art. To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick is absurd. And I'm still, like, vibing to it to this day, and just, I get it. I get, like, because I was talking to a friend about this, and he got put in the Harvard curriculum of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even that old. It's only a few, it's like 4 years old now. And they already put it in history books. And I said, people need to pay attention. Like, even if you don't like it, because I know it's more jazzy and poetry and funk, which isn't necessarily always the most, you know, the wave.
Appeal to the masses.
Yeah, it doesn't always appeal, but that again, that goes to that point of like, that's something that when you make a capsule and you start sticking stuff in there and you only get so many spots and you want generations from now to dig up what we would hail as high caliber art. That's one of those things that yeah. goes in the conversation. And yeah, that's a beautiful body of work. Even if it's not maybe everyone's like most listened to Kendrick project, I think that it just kind of transcends music, that the hip hop thing. It's just a yeah. great album.
I have that CD for my car.
yeah, I do too. Yeah, I have that CD and it's like, this is special. And Kendrick is definitely one of those people where I feel so strongly about giving people their roses while they're here. Because I think that happens a lot where people, you know, pass, especially there's been a lot of rappers particularly passing away
yeah.
in these last few years. And it's really sad. And I feel like there's a long list of names, but Kendrick being one of them, that we really got to celebrate while they're here because they're doing some really important stuff for music. So, yeah.
No, that's actually fine. I'm just Googled top albums of the decade and Tiffin Butterfly was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's gotta be, like, it's gotta be, yeah. you know, like, I mean, and again, like, I can't speak on every genre because I can't listen to everything that comes out for every genre, but for hip hop, oh yeah, we putting that in the running, like, that's in the conversation, easy.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, Channel Orange, too.
Oh, Channel Frank. Orange is a, yeah, that's a
that
good
That was
one.
A huge
Oh,
one.
Okay, I gotta ask you then, I'm gonna flip it, sure. Channel Orange or Blonde?
That is probably one of the hardest questions I've ever been asked.
That's controversial. That's I very know, kind.
Because Channel Orange is like the baby. Like that was like my first, like one of my favorite albums for so many years. It came out when I was in like eighth grade and it was like yeah. my obsession for yeah. so long. But like Blonde had so many great songs that I felt so connected with. I don't know why, but I loved it. So like unpopular opinion, I might go with Blonde. Oh. I don't know though. I really don't
see,
know.
See, I've been getting a lot of posts recently on like my feed saying Blonde, like, oh yeah. I mean, you know, and it probably is like obviously Frank's grown as a creative, but I really do love Channel Orange. I was yeah. vibing to that today. I had like Super Rich Kids on mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, it's a great album. Like it's
still maybe I'm
it's,
just
it holds up. It's it like does. It holds up.
You never get tired of it. No, it's been, no. what, like 8 years or something?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It's been a while.
So, yeah, I mean, very, very close. Like, that's probably one of the hardest comparison questions ever because they're both amazing in different ways. And, like,
yeah.
they definitely both hold different memories, like, of my life. Like, Channel Orange was so my younger teens, like, very just coming to myself, like,
yeah.
just having dumb fun with my friends yeah. and like Blonde is more emotional for me. Yeah. So it's like,
it is, it's a much slower project. And I think that's dope too, is like, whether you like it or not, like, isn't it crazy how music, you attach it to experiences, like, it becomes the soundtrack to your life, really, you know, where you're like, oh, I remember when my friends and I used to drive for food at night and we used to bump this together and yeah. it really does. It like it's a time capsule where it can take you right back to a moment or a feeling you had when you heard it. Like there's so many projects, that being one of them, where you're like, don't you wish you could like hear it again, like for the yes. first time, where you're like, oh, I wish I could like wipe it from my mind and hit play and like have that moment again. It's
that,
special.
Like adrenaline rush.
Yeah. Oh, it's like,
wow, this is unreal.
Yeah. Or when you feel like when you stumble upon that record and it just blows your mind and you're like, what am I listening to right now? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's it. That's it's the feeling. Mm-hmm. When everyone always asks like what inspires the music making, I'm like, I'm just chasing feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to chase that feeling. I want to make records that make me feel how those records made me feel. You know, obviously like pay homage, but. And, you know, and learn from that blueprint, but obviously explore and,
mm-hmm.
and try other things, you know, because you want to try to, you know, craft your own sound and you don't want to just copy, but,
right.
You know, cause that doesn't really lead to anything sustainable, which is why they always say, you know, I understand the message of don't ride the wave, because waves change every day. You know, it's they change so quickly. You know, if you're trying to adhere to what's cool, by the time you get ready to make the record, it might already be out, and you don't want to be late. So you can't be late to your own party if you're making it for you. You know, it's just like, so that's big.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of the different waves of the music industry, what is something that's really surprised you about the music industry since you've gotten into it over the past couple of years?
Oh, it's grimy.
Yeah.
It's gross. Like, it kind of flows perfectly. I get why some of these guys disappear off the face of the earth, and they are only around when they need to share music. Cause there's a lot of byproduct stuff. And if some of these people, you know, like I think there's great musicians, there's great personalities, and then every now and then you get a mixture of the two. You know what, if that makes sense? Like, there's some people who interview really well, and they do the whole, you know, just the whole promo thing or whatever it be, right. You know, being in the limelight thing. And then there's other people that are like, look, I just make really great music, and that's really all I have for y'all. I don't want to talk about my personal life. I don't want to get into all that. I would just, the music will speak for itself. Peace out. And yeah, just music industry stuff. Like, there's just, I think that in a time in LA and just some stuff that happened recently, is just, there's a lot of people that will sell you your hopes and dreams, and, you know, really make pitches, and they don't have any good intentions by you. So you have to be cautious. You just have to. And, you know, you got to protect your, not only yourself, but your craft. And the last thing, you know, you would want is to be, I guess, taken advantage of. And, you know, and there's a lot of people, you know, I think that, yeah, you just got, you know, proceed with caution kind of thing.
Agreed.
So that's a big, I mean, that's in any field, but I think especially in the arts world, because again, there's really no one right way to do art, right? Like, there's, I mean, with the internet and people being self-employed, and you get, you know, people like a Chance, who is independent and isn't signed to a label, who are deviating and showing that you can kind of do this by your own rules. And that, you, as you can imagine, like, everyone's not going to like that. This is not, you know, because it's a business. So I think people just got to understand, you got to have a good team around you. Cause even me, like, I'm a solo artist, but I don't do this all by myself. I have really good people around me, or I try to, and they help flesh out ideas. They help kind of reinforce the vision and good conversation, and people who have, like, a friend, I have to shout him out just because he's done so much for me, Aubrey. My friend Aubrey, who's doing a lot in the area, and he has opened a lot of doors for me. So when people are like, I think sometimes people translate independent to like, oh, I do it all myself. No, it just means that you're doing it on your terms, and there's nothing wrong with collaboration. This is, you know, this is a wonderful, and I'm very gracious for this collaboration, because you're helping me take a new step, and get, I guess, be seen by other people, or heard by people that may not have otherwise heard. So it's just about sizing people up. I like to think I'm a good gauge of, you know, people, and when you know you're dealing with genuine beings, like, reinforce those friendships and those relationships, because that's what it's all about.
Agreed. So then, this is just kind of a fun question, since we had a really fun little segment talking about different artists that we're really into and whatnot. If you could collaborate with any three artists that are alive, who would they be and why?
Oh. That's, oh gosh. I'm not going to overthink this one, because again, there's always going to be someone like, oh, why didn't you say so-and-so? Ah. You know, I said this the other day, so I'm going to stick to it. I would love to work with Pharrell Williams. And only because he just works with everyone, but still is able to, like, make magic. Like, I mean, the guy's credentials are insane. He's, you know, he's just been all over the place, and I think that's really dope. So I would feel confident knowing that if I worked with someone like Pharrell, I think he would bring out the best in me. I think he would maybe push me in directions that I didn't know I could go or wanted to go. but it would still feel like me. And I think he does that really well. Like, he had a huge hand on Ariana Grande's album, The Sweetener. Mm-hmm. Like, and that got her a Grammy. And I mean, and the list goes on from Kendrick to Earl. Earl's another one of my favorite artists around.
Earl Sweatshirt.
Earl Sweatshirt. Yeah. Oh, huge fan. Yeah. Man, he's doing him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you listen to his music and you're like, oh, he's doing exactly what he wants to do.
And it's so funny because I was asking this the other day, like, if you listen to some of his way earlier music, like, he has actually had one of the craziest transitions. I feel like his voice is completely, I mean, he was so young when he started with Our Future, but he is so different. His voice is so different.
Look, even Tyler, look at, like, how dramatically
dramatic.
Yeah, like when you listen to Igor and you think about the stuff they were talking about when they first came on the screen, you're like, I had a friend who, like, they couldn't believe it was him. I'm like, yeah, this is Tyler. And they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, it's the same person. But, yeah, people grow and they change. And, like you're saying, like, Earl's music has just got more experimental and deviated. I mean, it's just not adhering to any rules. For better or for worse, I mean, that's for the fans to decide, but I love it. I'm here for it.
Me too.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, do it. And you need that sometimes. Sometimes it's about normalizing things. Like, sometimes it takes someone big or bigger to make it okay to be like, yeah, we're doing this now. Like, and you can't stop us. And then other people feel confident in doing those things and, like, doubling down on their more zany or off the beaten path ideas. So that's cool.
For sure.
Oh, shit. I didn't even answer the question. Yeah, Pharrell. Gosh. And it's, I don't want to just say people that, like, I'm fans of, but, like, actually, I think we'd make something dope. Uh-huh. Andre, I'd probably say Andre 3000 because I really want that man to make a solo album. Mm-hmm. And I think he was another person very early on that inspired a lot of the way I do things. And just, again, like, really unorthodox and just, he was in his own land. You could tell he was in his own world. And I'd say Donald, like, I would love to see what he would, even if he didn't, like, do a song with me, I would just love for him to oversee a song, if that makes sense. Maybe, like, maybe just be in the room and, like, give me direction of, like, what he think would be dope for me. Because, again, a lot of the way I approach music is because of someone like him. And there's so many people, but those are three. I'll throw them out.
Yeah. Love all three. Love all three.
Yeah.
And then who's on your playlist right now? Are you currently into somebody new? Or are you still listening, shuffling through the oldies that you love?
Oh yeah. I've been listening to all sorts of stuff. I'm going to have to shout out and I'm going to go on record. You have this recorded. I hear it now. I am a very big Harry Styles fan. Like,
yes.
I it started off one of those things where, like, my timeline would just get flooded. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't really follow the One Direction arc of his career. But he had that Lights Up, announcing the new album. And I really rocked with it. I'm like, yo, this is dope. Like, I really like this. And then I went back to a self-titled project.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Sign of the Times because that was, like, the big single from that, which I thought was a great record. I mean, it's really good. And now I'm, like, really just looking forward to this album to drop. And it comes out in, like, days.
Yeah, so I'm pumped too.
Yeah. Like, I really like, I think a lot of people are going to find that when I start, like, talking to people I'm a fan of, like, it goes way beyond hip hop. And I just, that's a big thing for me too is, not being, I guess,
subjected to one.
Yeah. Or, like, just close-minded. Be open to a variety of genres because I think there's something, even if it's never something I would make myself, something about appreciating what they're able to pull off. Like, I really love, like, that Tame for that reason. And then, like, Harry Styles is really dope to me. Shoot, let me see real quick. What else am I listening to? Rex Orange County.
Yeah.
I really like him. He's dope. My buddy got me listening to some of the older Schoolboy Q.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Brown. We got JPEG Mafia. We got Lana Del Rey. Brockhampton. Their project was cool. YBN Cordae, obviously Mac Miller, rest in peace. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's, and those are like some of the more recent stuff. But then, like, obviously, then I got like Kendricks and Drakes and J. Cole. Like, those guys are pretty much always consistently in the playlist because they've got so many records. But right. that's a handful of things that have been in rotation right now.
And like, going back to what you said about appreciating other genres of music other than just enjoying them and appreciating them, like, who's to say that you can't pull from every single genre and put it into something and create something that's like totally different and like a mesh of multiple aspects music? I think that would be so sick, because I know that that's like a big thing, obviously, to do that. But
yeah, and I think that's, to me, where, especially in hip-hop, that's where it's headed. You know, like, there's so many sub-genres of everything now. Like, it's the whole genres in general. I think a perfect example of that, let's talk about it because it's relevant, Old Town Road. Like,
country rap.
Even if you don't like it, the debate it sparked of, like, is it country? Is it hip-hop? I don't know. You know, like, and they try to pull it off, because it was working its way up the country charts, and they pull it off because they said it wasn't technically country, and then Billy Ray's like, I got something to say about that.
Yeah.
And he gave him, like, shout out Billy Ray. That was super awesome of him to do that and put his stamp of approval on, and then boom, it became the biggest record of the year. And it broke, like, legit records.
Yeah.
And, I don't think Lil Nas X could have ever anticipated how big that song was going to be, but that just goes to show, like, you know, the genres are blurring all the time. And like you said, I don't see why you can't listen to a great rock record and draw from it and bring that back. Cause it's like, at the core of it, it's like songwriting and melody and all that. That's a through line for every genre. So it's really just where you want to place it. And then when it's time to release it, you got to put it in you got to put a genre on it for searching sake, you know, so people can find it. But, you know, that stuff really doesn't,
no one even cares about it anymore.
Yeah, no one even cares. If it connects, it connects. Cause really it only matters for Spotify searches and award seasons. Cause they need, you know, that's really the only time it ever was really relevant. Cause when it comes time to start sticking these projects against each other, for awards, they got to know what you classify your project as, so they can go, okay, well, we'll put you in the urban contemporary, or, you know, all these little subdivision things. But yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't at all. Okay, so then to kind of just wrap up this interview, I know that you said you had some upcoming shows in Iowa City in the next month or so, and that you're working on new music now. Are there any other things coming up in the horizon for you, show-wise, appearances, music releases?
Yeah, so I probably shouldn't run my mouth too much, and I know my friends going to get mad, so we're just going to say the new project. I can say this. You know what? I'm going to give you a scoop. Yeah.
Ooh.
The next project is going to be called Welcome to Nowhere.
Ooh.
And we'll be, once the, you know, we'll keep in touch, and obviously we'll talk about it when it comes out. But kind of back to the point at the beginning when we started this interview, was being a resident of Iowa, and that is a through line of this project for me, because I found that, you know, I'm really finding myself in, we are kind of in nowhere. When you think about the grand scheme of America, they call us the flyover states, right? Like, we're kind of, you know, the Midwest, and it's a lot of agriculture. And there's a misconception sometimes of, like, oh, we're all living on farms out here, or whatever they think's going on. Like, no, I don't live on a farm. And I don't think you live on a farm.
Nope.
I think that there's a beautiful thing that can happen where we can clear up a lot of the misconception about what is going on in a place like Iowa. So yeah, we're just making really dope records, and that's the name of the next project. When it's coming out, we'll say quarter one for right now.
You know, okay.
Quarter one, 2020. That's my goal.
Okay.
Everything goes according to plan. And yeah, shows wise, we're just going to be cranking out a lot of shows and really pushing this body of work. That's really it. I'd say that's what I can say safely, that new project and a real strong push behind it, because I really believe in these records, and do as many shows as we can so our presence is disgusting. That yes. you're gonna, like, that we'll be everywhere, and if you miss one show, don't worry, because there'll be another show shortly behind. But as of right now, January 11th and January 31st for the new year, and we will be in Iowa City doing that. And as by the time this comes out, I'm pretty sure that I have done this gig this week with the Underground Experience. So yeah, just trying to stay busy and inspired. Yeah.
For sure. Well, that sounds like a really exciting upcoming new year. But okay, thank you so much, Isaiah. Yeah. This has been such a great interview. I thought you really vibed, so that was really fun. Yeah, and I'm excited that we finally got to sit down and kind of just talk and chat since Battle of Band. So
yes. Yeah, shout out Christina. Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like, really, all in all, like, thank you for taking the time out and even just being gracious enough to have me on. Really, that means a lot, because I'm sure there's plenty of people that you could have reached out to and you gave me that opportunity, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you so much.
Of course.
Hey, it's Isaiah, and you're about to listen to my record called Neutral.
Why you steady playing? You've been on my brain. Do you feel the same? How do I explain? Taxi. Why you steady playing? You've been on my brain. Do you feel the same? How do I explain? You need a night on the town. No better time than now. Loyalty be rare though, so how many still bout that? Give lots only in return just to get burned. Gotta bounce back. Them dice rolls got you ice cold. Now it's my show. And understand, I'm a fan. I hit the stands with a phone finger. Oh, f***ers got the phone ringing. Only saying what we both thinking. Hang up, same stuff. Wow, look who we get focused. I would consider it hypnosis. Crazy the people that hurt you the most might be the ones that get closest. Oh, you ain't gotta pick and choose. You ain't gotta take no sides. And you been running through my mind. And the wonder, and the wonder, is the feeling mutual? You've been stuck on neutral. And this is so confusing. Ain't gon' have me looking stupid. And is the feeling mutual? You've been stuck on neutral. And this is so confusing. Ain't gon' have me looking stupid. Ooh, ooh. We know very well, this love thing ain't all fairy tales. Ain't no fan of fantasy, and not quite where I plan to be. But I've been working on it, roll with you. Compliment it like a cherry sit up on a Sunday. If I'm riding for you, that's 24-7 Monday through Sunday. I've been disregarding my heartstrings, hoping that I wouldn't feel stuff. Yeah. Keep each other at arm's length, makes it difficult to build trust. Yeah. We already so hard-headed, pretty long days of this road work. Risk taking, but keep racing with a seat vacant if this don't work. Like, you ain't gotta pick and choose. You ain't gotta take no sides. And you been running through my mind. And I want ya. And I wonder, is the feeling mutual? You been stuck on neutral. And this is so confusing. Have me looking stupid. And is the feeling beautiful? You've been stuck on neutral. And this is so confusing. Ain't gon' have me looking stupid. Ooh, ooh.
Hi, this is Isaiah, and you're about to listen to my song called Park, featuring Soul True.
I feel like an old soul,
hook me up with that senior citizen discount. Spring chicken with a few old dude habits. Life's obstacles got me doing gymnastics, doing fantastic till I bust my ass trying to dismount. Brush it off, take a bow, show your pearly whites. Go out or go to sleep, call it an early night. Cooling at the crib at like 8 or 9 at the latest. My time precious, ain't no time for the haters. A simple scent that just hit the tip of the iceberg. And I'm trying to find me the right words. Get a grip, fix this lump in my throat. Putz around, you gon' drown. And I'm sunk with the boat. Fail you feeling out of my tail. I was in a hurry, it's annoying. People pointing, trying to play the judge and jury. But do your thing, take aim, all the same. We all going through it. What a shame, man. So where do I start? I fell off the mark, I put it in park. And it's not complicated, thank God we made it. Cause these things are not good for your health. Point that finger at everyone else. But you be told if I don't get it how I want it, I got no one to blame but myself. More days of gourmet meals, dining on top ramen. Who gon' help you out when you whining at rock bottom? SOS, scatterbrained and conflicted. If I got a lot of baggage, will you come lift it? Look me in the eyes and you lie through your teeth. So I cut your ass off, that's a sigh of relief. Back against the wall when you caught up in ultimatums. Changes always happening, so why we taught to hate it? To be honest, I'm scared of falling in love. Is it wrong that I want me all the above? And I'm climbing a tall ladder, I got liquid and gas, dude. I'm solid, in my solace, is this what matters? Chase the wrong things and you get noose in the pursuit. I mean, do you seen the news, they spreading lead up at the youth. It should come as no surprise, we should be led by our youth. Like who will speak for me, and who will speak for you? Glad that we're adults, just a couple people who learning from past faults. Holes in this road, filling with asphalt. Small minded people need a magnifying glass just to peep them. A life full of woulda, coulda, shouldas, that's a pretty painful punishment. All said and done, beam me back to the mothership. So go ahead bro, you better speak how you feel. There's way too many just fall asleep at the wheel, that's real. So where do I start? I fell off the mark, I put it in park. And it's not complicated, thank God we made it. Cause these things are not good for your health. You put that finger at everyone else. But you be told if I don't get it how I want it, I got no one to blame, no one to blame. So where do I start? I fell off the mark, I put it in park. And it's not complicated, but you got me made it. Cause these things are not good for your health. You want that finger at everyone else. But you'll be told if I don't get it how I want it, I got no one to blame, no one to blame but myself.